Really is a blessing to be here this morning. I've watched my dad come here for several years. Y'all come well recommended. And I can see why. It's been a blessing to be here. It's been an honor to be here, just to be in y'all's presence. To be here to sing praises and worship. Heard some amazing preaching so far. And Lord be willing, it'll continue. We've heard it several times, and I want to repeat it. 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine and reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. And I firmly believe that. And by that means if there's a word in this book, it's got a purpose. I may not understand its purpose. There's a lot of it that I don't yet. I don't know that I ever will. But it's got a reason to be here. If you will, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. So I came here for the first time. I've been listening, and y'all ever heard the saying, I'm learning as I go? I'm doing a lot of that. And I learn more and more of respect for these men that have been doing this for so long. To be in a meeting like this, surrounded by so many, and hearing so many good sermons, your mind just starts running in 7,000 different directions. One after another after another. And I just kept praying, Lord, put something on my mind that keeps coming back. And this is what He's put on me. I came here to be with y'all and to worship and to praise. But let's be honest. I'm selfish as everybody else. I want to receive something. I want to come and worship and praise my God and thank Him for the things that He's done. And I want to do that in my life. But just like the rest of us, I'm selfish. I want to receive something. So I did come here praying to receive something, and I believe I have. Read with me in Corinthians 3. I want to start, 6. 1 Corinthians 6. It says, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. I skipped one. Go back to 7. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Scripture has a way of keeping us preachers humble. Paul says it plain. That guy that planted, he's nothing. The guy that watereth, he's nothing. It's God that gives the increase. It is God that does the work. Anybody can come up here and give a speech. Anybody can come up here and pick a verse and expound on, as Brother Harold said, our opinions. We can give our opinion on what this says, and we can give a well thought out speech, and we can have an outline, and we can have all of our points we want, and we can do all these things, but if God is not in it, there will be no increase. But if you continue on down through this, and I plan to, there'll be no increase without our work as well. We come here and we've heard a lot of good sermons, a lot of good preaching, but let me ask you, what are we going to do come Monday morning? What are we going to do come this evening? When I get in the car and I start driving that 10-hour drive back home, what am I going to do with everything that I have received? I've received correction, reproof, doctrine. All of these things that are in every Scripture, I've received those things. The Lord's given it to me. He's blessed these men to bring it out. But what am I going to do with it? The true growth and the true advancement in our lives comes from our work and God's blessing in that work. I want to read on down through 15 and then I'll continue. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. I'll stop there for a minute. Paul makes it very clear. The one that plants, the one that waters, they're one. But God gives the increase according to every man's labor. By every individual that comes in and hears these things and what we do with them when we leave, God gives the increase by what we do with it. But for those, much is given, much is expected. Those of us that are in this building, those of us that are in any church that teaches the truth of God's Word, much is expected. Paul writes to the church at Corinth. I spoke on this last time I had the opportunity to preach at home. He is writing to the church at Corinth looking for growth. He's looking for growth in that church. And I don't mean growth in numbers. I mean, we'll be honest, this church is nearly full. It's beautiful. I love it. And I would love to see every church full to the brim to the point we have to tear them down and build bigger ones. I'll be honest, I'd love numbers.
Amen.
But numbers are useless without true growth in the church.
That's right.
I believe I can speak for every man that has come up here and the ones that have not been called on. Every pastor and every minister has an honest desire for their church to truly grow in spirit.
Amen.
That is the growth that Paul is desiring in Corinth. That's the desire Paul has in all of the churches that he has helped to establish and build. And that is my desire for each one of us. Is to truly grow in the grace, peace, and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. That is Paul's desire, and that is my desire as well. He says this has to be done by your labor. You can hear everything you want. You can have seeds planted in the ground, and you can water them all day long, but if it stays dark, it's never going to do anything. If we don't shine light, it'll never change. I'll be honest. Just to be blunt, these pastors don't want to see the same people coming every week. We want change. We want growth. I want to see the same faces, but not the same people. I love seeing the same faces every time I come to church. And if the Lord blesses me and I get to come back here next year, I pray I get to see every one of your faces again. But I pray you're not the same people.
Amen.
Without growth, we're stagnant and dead.
Amen.
If you're not changing, you're doing nothing.
Yes.
To hear all of these words is great. But to act upon them. And Paul says, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. Okay, we're good old Baptists. We love the shalls. We preach strongly on those shalls. She shall bring forth the Son, thou shalt call his name Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sins. We love the shalls. Well, some of them aren't as pleasant. Some of us don't want to jump up and down when we hear some of the shalls, and this is one of them. The day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. Life's not easy. This world's not easy. It doesn't come at us lightly. It never has. Not in the day of the apostles, not in Old Testament days, and it won't in the future either. It's not going to get better. Life doesn't change. This sinful world will not cease to be sinful. So we will always have this come at us. And Paul doesn't beat around the bush. He's very clear about it. Fire will manifest the things you're doing in this life. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But, I love a lot of the buts in the Bible.
Amen.
This man is going to be burned. I want to point this out as well. Both men go through the same fire. Being a child of God, being in church, knowing these things and applying them in your life doesn't excuse you from the fire. Lord Jesus Christ teaches this same lesson when he talks about the two men building their houses. Both men, and this is what I'm talking about, I want us to build our life based on the things that we learn. That's the purpose. Now, Paul keeps the preachers humble, telling us that we're nothing, telling us that without God we are nothing. But it takes that planting and it takes that watering for life to continue and for us to grow. God has an intention to continue to call men into this work. And it is a very important reason. But I want to see lives being built upon the foundation that is planted. The foundation that is laid that no other man can lay than what the one Jesus Christ laid. The solid work, the base of what Jesus Christ did, the things that Brother Harold just beautifully brought out, all the work that he finished beyond just the eternal salvation that he finished. He set up his church. He set up his ministers. He confirmed his scriptures by referring to old. You want proof that scripture is scripture? Jesus Christ backed up scripture. He laid that foundation for our life. Now we are to build our lives and build our houses, as Jesus puts it, on that foundation. One man does it wisely. He does it based upon these things. Luke says he digs deep, gets rid of all the dirt before he ever begins to build. The true foundation of any house is the dirt that is built on top of. The concrete slab underneath is useless if the dirt between it and the true rock washes away.
Amen.
You look at my house at home, we went to peeling carpet back and we found that it happened. That thing they called a foundation had split because the dirt that was between it and the true rock washed out from under it. Luke says the wise man dug deep. He dug down to the rock and placed his foundation on that rock. Didn't leave any dirt between him and Christ. He left nothing between him and that foundation so nothing can move when the storms come. But Jesus Christ teaches the same lesson. The same storms come on both houses.
Amen.
Both houses have the storm beat vehemently on them. The floods come. Neither storm is lighter because he builds his house wisely. And both of these men go through the same fire. One man comes through it without the smell of smoke on him. He comes through it. His life is still intact. It's hot. He feels the heat. But he walks through it. And his life is still there. He felt the tinge. He felt the... It's hot. It's uncomfortable. This world will never be comfortable just because we stand firm on these truths. The life's going to beat on us. It's going to pull on us. It's going to rock on us. It's going to hurt, but we will walk through it. The man that did not says he suffers loss. Because just as the two men building the houses, when the storm comes and he left that dirt in between, that dirt washes off and the house falls off the true foundation. That's what causes it. There's something between him and God, and that flood comes and everything comes about, and it washes it off the rock because it's not all the way down on it. The second man comes through the fire and he has suffered loss. There's been things in his life that didn't stand up to the fire. His money failed. Try to build your life on that. It'll fail. I've experienced that myself. Try to build your life on friends. They'll fail. Try to build your life on supposed truth. It'll fail. But you build your life on the truth, on the foundation, and it'll stand through the fire, and you won't suffer that loss. But the beauty of it is, and the glorious things of God is, the man suffered loss, and it hurt, but he himself shall be saved. This world comes at us and we suffer loss. We lose friends. We lose money. We lose all these things that we have foolishly built our life on. But we are saved by the fire. What is that salvation? Well, that gets me to heaven. No. I'm saved and get to go home to heaven because I suffered loss and the hard things of this world, and I've just been beaten down by this world, so I'm bound for heaven because of it. No. The salvation that comes through this fire is you just saw everything that does not belong in your life.
Amen.
I learned that lesson when the money burned away and I could no longer support my family based on it. That was not what was supposed to be there. These things that get burned away, they weren't supposed to be there. When that flood came and knocked that house off because he had the dirt in between, had the world between him and the true rock, that world wasn't supposed to be there. And the Lord just saved you from that. Because none of us are done building. You finish building the day you die. Until that day, you're building a life.
Amen.
The minute you stop, you're already dead. And the longer you build on those things that don't belong, the more it's going to hurt when that fire hits you.
Amen.
The taller the house, the more things that you're depending on those things instead of depending on God. And when that fire comes and those things burn away, it'll hurt even more. See, we're saved by that fire. Purified by fire, it says in other places in Scripture. It's like silver tried in a furnace of earth. It brings all those impurities to the top and they're able to scrape it off. Cut it out. God help us whenever the fire comes and we see those things burn, don't bring them back. Don't say, oh, that hurt, but I got to build this back up because it's the only way I know to live. You just got showed something.
Yeah.
You just got saved.
Yeah.
You just got taught a lesson. But how many times do we just go right back to what was old? You see that in the apostles' life when Christ was resurrected and he came back and they're just going back fishing. That's the life they knew. He's gone. I don't know what else to do. I'm just going to go back fishing. And Jesus come back out there and said, guys, y'all aren't supposed to be out here. I left y'all with work to do. Why'd you come back here? Did y'all forget who I was? And he showed them again who he really is. Because I promise you, if you build your life back up on those things that don't belong, the fire is still going to come again. And it's going to hurt just as bad or worse the second time as it did the first time. So what are we going to do with what we've learned? What are we going to do with what we've received? And what is the encouragement and the strength that Paul uses twice in the first book of Corinthians to teach them to move forward? It says, know ye not that ye are the temple of God? And the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. That's powerful. That's strength. Paul uses this twice. Only three chapters later, he repeats himself again. He wants them to know these things. Believe these things. Stand on this. You have God dwelling in you. God himself lives in this temple that he built. And that is a power that nothing on this earth can challenge. Philippians tells us, him that worketh in us, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. That's why Paul continually reminds them of these things. You have God living in you, giving you the will to do, but not only the will to think it. He gives us the power to will to do these things. If you desire to serve God, you desire to do better, he gives you the power to do of his good pleasure. Not just to have the good thoughts. Not to just say, okay, Lord, I hear you. I'm going to pray for it now. Oh, he gives you the power to act. James tells us faith without works is dead. That's one of those hard lessons to learn. We can have all the good intentions, we can have all the good thoughts, and we can have all the good desires to advance the kingdom here on this earth and to work for God in our lives, but if we don't make that step, what good is our faith? What are we going to do with what we've heard? We've prayed to receive. I know I have. And the Lord's blessed us to do that. The Lord's blessed me to receive while I'm here. What am I going to do with it come Monday morning? What am I going to do on the way home and the guy cuts me off on the interstate? Yeah, it's that personal. So I thank y'all for having me here. I thank you for the opportunity of being up here. And y'all pray for Brother Freddie. Thank you.